You are listening live to MSEC Radio, where, well, I don't know what the fuck we're doing, but we're getting the gang back together. We'll say that. Howdy, everyone. I'm Brian, back within, we'll call it the All-Star Collection, because I'm feeling nostalgic.
Yeah.
Tonight. joining me from up north in his triumphant debut, here to tell us all about hockey and why Gary Bettman is the greatest commissioner in sports. It is Mr. T. How are things?
Gary Bettman should be thrown into a well. but, you know, it's an okay well. He means well. That was a bad mixed metaphor. I'm sorry.
So he's like baby Jessica. You'll pull him out eventually.
He's not a bad person. He just sucks.
Right.
Kind of like Brady Hoke.
Wow. Yeah, ooh.
He's probably more competent than Brady. Let's be fair.
We would hope.
Low bar is low.
Yeah. Yes. Also joining us from B1Gville and a very classy team, it is Mr. Yertle. How are things?
Pretty good. And we're not a classy team. We are a renegade win-at-all-cost program.
Yeah. How's that working out for you?
Yeah,
so far, they're one for one.
Yeah.
That is true. That is true. And all right, joining us from SEC country, we do have to ask, you know, she missed the exciting part of the Ole Miss season and has just returned to us for the terrible part. It is Miss Apple Course. How are things?
It's good to be back. Back to the regular part of the universe where Ole Miss is terrible at stuff and horrible fates befall us weekly.
I'll buy you a couple drinks in New Orleans, you know, in honor of an excellent first half of the season.
Appreciate it.
And joining us, he certainly enjoyed this past weekend, thanks to Barnhard. It is Mr. Kotov. How are things?
Well, more importantly, Central beat Eastern, so that's the really big, big news here. I don't know about
Ron
that other
English
stuff.
Ron English got fired, right?
You what now?
Ron English got fired at some.
Oh yeah, that was last year. He got fired.
Do they have a new coach, or are they just kind of being sad and gray? With hammer.
Is there a student? Is there a student coach?
I don't know that it makes a difference.
They're the ones with the cinder block wall that they took like 20 minutes to bust through, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I just want to get that out there. That was one of the sadder yet funnier yet sadder things I've seen in a while.
Yeah. Right. If it was against most hated rival, it would be the funniest thing you ever saw.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, we're gonna jump right into. It actually turned out to be a pretty interesting weekend, which was funny because. I think on the podcast last week, we were all bitching about how there were no good games this weekend. But we'll start off because I run things and I want to laugh at them. And TCU escaping WVU with one of the ugliest yet craziest games I think I've seen in a long time. But TCU had 5 turnovers, if I remember correctly, and still almost lost.
Now, in the interest of honesty, I did not watch a single minute of football last weekend. But in the grandest traditions of ESPN, that will not stop me from commentating on the finer points of the weekend. TCU just finds a way to win. You see?
Yes.
No, I have no idea what the fuck happened, but I'm really happy that West Virginia lost because, you know, I don't know if. I'm enjoying watching TCU be really good. I feel like outside of the crazy weed scapade they had, 2-3 years ago, I feel like that's a pretty respectable program, and Gary Patterson's a good guy, and it's really funny watching Texas be pushed further and further down to be like a 5th or 6th best team in the state. So, TCU
seems to play the most like tough guy football in the state of Texas right now, which is kind of a weird thing to say.
Yeah.
It is, but it isn't. I mean, that's been their identity for as long as I've been following football, honestly.
Yeah, that's been their thing since Gary Patterson's been there. He's like the guy with the 4-2-5 defense. So he's kind of like, this is kind of his thing. That's kind of what he wants with the program. Although they're the ones who put up 82 points on Virginia Tech or whatever.
I honestly thought Death Valley scoreboard, like, little side thingy was broken when I saw that.
Yeah. Yeah, it that was... And a funny story about Mr. Patterson. Back in 08 when we fired the good old boy Tommy Bowden, we were too cheap to hire Gary Patterson of TCU.
Well, that was really stupid.
That was fucking stupid.
That was dumb.
Yeah.
Clemson and that, being cheap when it comes to coaches, what is this? I don't believe it.
Yeah, well...
Well, they're not cheap. They're not going to be cheap anymore, so...
Yeah. Well, they're only cheap about the initial salary, the buyout.
Exactly. No, so, you know, mid-season firing, and our AD spent those next couple weeks interviewing candidates, and he wanted to talk to Patterson, who was, from what I remember, probably the most accomplished candidate on the list. But as part of that, you know, normally... Oh, you'll call the agent, you'll kind of feel each other out about numbers, you know, some of that pre-interview talk. And
yeah, stuff that you can easily deny with technical truth.
Yeah.
The deniable foreplay, if you will.
Yeah,
There you go.
I like that phrase. and the agent basically laughed at RAD when he, I forget what the salary was, supposedly like the ballpark he was looking at, and he goes, yeah, no, call us when you're going to actually talk about a real number for his salary.
Which then he should have.
Yeah.
Totally fair to have a misunderstanding like that.
Well, and the thing is, you know, it was probably one of those where, you know, he probably said something like 800,000, 900,000 a year. And if he bumps it up to 1112, easily has the talk. And I would argue, not now, but back then, if you were a larger BCS program, you had to call Patterson.
Oh, yeah. And, yeah. I mean, still now. How old is he? Gary Patterson is...
54.
No, he's 54.
He's only 54?
I remember his name getting bandied about after we fired Chizik. I mean, I at least heard people mention the name. I don't know how serious a candidate he ever was. But...
Good Lord, we would be playing literally the opposite of what we're playing right now.
Yeah. But and now too, I think, because he's been there so long, it might be one of those where that's where he's staying, unless maybe a Florida comes calling. But even then,
I wish they could.
Yeah.
At this point, I think he retires there. It doesn't. He's old enough that even if he rebuilds somewhere, it won't clearly be his grandiose, monstrous powerhouse. It'll be his successors. Yeah. So,
do they have a previous, like, this is the guy for TCU? Like, do they have, like, a previous, I guess, the Bear Bryant of TCU? Or is Patterson
Dutch
pretty much going to be the guy if he retires?
Dutch Meyer, who was the head coach in the 1930s, and they won the national championship in 1936.
Huh. Okay.
So, basically, no.
Yeah, not in anybody's memory.
We adore the memory of, you know, Bernie Bierman, but we don't consider him some sort of, you know,
Bear Bryant
or Joe Pa or fucking
yeah, they got Slingin' Sammy Baugh. I mean, they have some history.
I've never heard the name before in my life.
I have, but I feel like Gary Patterson will still, if he retires there another maybe
Gary
like
Patterson.
10 years or so, he'll be the guy.
So, yeah. Especially for returning them to prominence in a major conference, he will be the guy.
Yeah. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well, Rose Bowl.
It would have been very easy for TCU to be with Houston in the ACC or whatever. It's because of Patterson that they are in the Big 12.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep. Yeah.
And taking advantage of all the...
Over myself, believe it.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and he's been there since 98. He's been the head coach since 2000. So, yeah.
I think he's the third longest tenured BCS coach there is, actually, after Richten and Prince.
Yeah. Here's a fun...
And Frank Beamer.
Beamer.
Yeah.
And then what's his face at Troy, five. But he'll be gone.
Blank knee.
Troy's not top. Yep. Troy's not
Larry, Larry, whatever the hell his last name is.
Blakeney. Oh, yeah, but I think he started Blakeney, in 2000, so.
Yeah. Well, and
the fact that we're even having a conversation, I mean, he's been there a long time.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, and here's a fun fact for you. He is best friends with Jerry Kill from Minnesota.
I know.
Yeah.
No wonder Eric likes him.
Yeah.
No, I was fairly unhappy with him 5 weeks ago, but it turns out the TCO might be the best team in the country, honestly, I think. I'm not saying that they are, but there's no one who's clearly better than them.
Yeah.
I mean, it is 21X, but there's no one clearly better than them. So I'm less upset about gacking up a terrible game and whatnot.
Yeah, no, and you look, they beat a then number four Oklahoma, they lost to a then number five Baylor, though they should have won that game.
Should have won the game.
Yeah.
God, I wish they had.
Baylor, by the way.
So do I. Oh, yeah.
Number 15 Oklahoma State, number 20 West Virginia, they're playing Kansas State.
Oklahoma State, let's be fair, is shitty.
Yeah.
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 Which I don't know where that came from, but.
They lost their quarterback after the first game. Yeah,
Either
the first game or the second game.
That's fair. Because they hung with FSU.
Yeah, and then they completely have not been the same team since then.
Yeah, okay, that's fair.
Yeah.
So FSU was, getting all kinds of credit for, winning that game. Oh, because they're the Noles. Talking about the Noles.
Talking about the Noles.
We need to figure out what, song melody that goes to.
I think that's sax or Texan.
That's not in my wheelhouse right there.
Same. But yeah, no, and what to go back to the game, what maybe was the most, I'll give WVU a little bit of credit for this, is that WVU turned the ball over five times and was leading I don't know if they ever trailed until the end.
Wait, but their play calling got super dumb.
Yeah.
That game was theirs, and they handed it over what's a Mike Valenti term? Whatever. Yeah. They should have won that game, regardless of how badly they played at the end.
Yeah.
That was their game, and they fucking handed it to TCU.
They had a lead for literally all but the last second of the game. Or at least that's what the ESPN scoring summary is telling me.
Well, fucking Hogo went into a shell and just run. Like, I mean, you ran fairly well that game, but you have to mix it up or you're not going to get anything done. I mean, TCU's defense is way too good, way too disciplined, way too smart to succumb to any sort of monolithic, not monolithic, but like one-dimensional threat.
Yeah.
Which, hello, hi.
Yeah. Yeah, you know all about that.
Yeah. Well, not actually. That game was more of a, you give up two turnovers early and you're a run-first team. You have to pass, and then you're going to be bad at it. Oh, well.
Or, well, you look at the one-dimensional team of the Big 12 and look what happened to Texas Tech.
I was going to say, Arkansas is sitting over in the corner eating paste and waving.
I don't understand that team, all. And I watched a lot of Burt in my day, but...
Yeah.
I almost wonder... How are you so good and so bad?
I almost wonder if it's this idea, there was a lot of concern from talking heads and whatnot when Burt was hired about, well, how is this Big Ten style, if you will, gonna work in the SEC? And I'm kind of wondering if that's what we're seeing with Arkansas. Where it can be effective, but it's almost like a stop-start thing, if that makes sense.
They're quite possibly finishing games from what I've seen this season. They can run with the bigger teams for two, three quarters, even into the fourth quarter, and just haven't been able to finish it. I mean, they only lost to Alabama by one. They only, really blew it at the end against Mississippi State. They hung with Auburn for a half. So, I mean, the only SEC game where they've really gotten blown out, I guess, was against Georgia. So I don't know. Maybe it's a lack of experience. I realize that sounds like a dumb talking head, whatever kind of thing to say, but it might actually be true.
I mean, especially if you're talking about not being able to finish a game and play a complete game, you've definitely got that lack of experience either from the whole mental toughness side or from physically being tired out after playing 45 minutes of football and not being able to get that last 15 minutes. So, yeah, I would definitely chalk it up to inexperience, since they could be good if they had the depth, but they're not.
Yeah, no, I...
Yeah, that's another thing, is that, yeah, you have to remember that the cover was basically bare when Burt got there.
God, yeah, it was.
That's true.
Yeah, and it's also, I mean, you wonder with some of these games, too, I'll say, not really having a quarterback. You know, it's from everything I've heard and seen, he's a low-end game manager. You know, if you had someone with even just a little bit of talent that could go out and really throw the ball a bit, you know, a couple of those games might be completely different.
Yeah.
I think the plan is to have him throw like 10 passes a game, mostly off play action, so they're not really expecting him to throw the ball down the field, but in games where they get down late, then they have to kind of, you know, come out of that shell a little bit, and it's not really what they do.
Right.
Well, that's exactly the problem. They haven't so far shown the talent to be able to run up big on a team and then, you know, establish a lead and hang on to it.
Yeah.
They're not there yet. They're going to be coming from behind.
Maybe they should start the offensive lineman at quarterback.
Here, take the ball, run forward. Don't fall down. Yeah.
Beef tank.
God, that was beautiful, though. That was ballsy play. Les Miles loved it.
But full of gusto and enthusiasm.
Yeah.
Chest.
All right, we'll... So also, you know, I suppose we should make mention of possibly the wackiest, most heartbreaking ending to a game in Ole Miss Auburn. Was it the numerical where they kind of guessed at the odds of this being somewhere like 500,000 or a million to one type of thing? Like, that's how rare it was. If I remember.
Sounds about right.
Yeah.
Ole Miss fans know that you throw the odds out the window when we're talking about Ole Miss and the possibility of losing. Statistics mean nothing.
They lie.
Yeah, they do.
Hey, it's okay. We feel your pain. Well,
I mean, I don't even know what to say about it, really, because, first of all, I wasn't really watching the game.
You were drinking champagne in the limo?
I mean, I was watching at the end, but it's like when you're ostensibly neutral and then one team gets its heart completely ripped out, like, you don't really know. I don't even know what to say about it. It's
sorry.
Yeah.
If it was against any other team, it definitely would be the most heartbreaking Ole Miss loss I've ever seen. And I would be super sad about it. But right now I'm super sad for Treadwell, and I guess sad for that part of my fandom, but also conflicted. I don't know.
Yeah. You're on the Auburn's going to the college football playoff bandwagon now.
Yeah. Although, to be honest, I guess I'm spoiled rotten, but I've been to two Auburn national championships. They were fun. Now I would like to do that with my parents and go with Ole Miss. I think that would be fun. So I'm sort of...
All right, so let's all go around the table and raise our hands if we've been to two national championship games with our team.
Seen them play, watched them play.
My grandfather could have.
Yeah. I had to.
But I don't think the trains went this way back then.
Yeah, or they had to figure out how to defrost the ice off of them.
Defrost the ice. You sound very southern, sir.
We don't know what you do with ice. We think that you have to melt it, but we're not sure.
Yeah. This is where I go. I've been living.
Certainly have no idea how.
Yeah, I've been living in a desert for the past 5 months.
Yeah, that'll do it.
Yeah, I'll claim that. What is cold? Please.
What is frozen water? I'm confused.
Yeah. No, but it. So then I'll have to ask what was more heartbreaking, this loss or the LSU loss the week before?
That's hard. Probably this one, because at the towards the end of the LSU game, for like the last probably quarter and a half, I think all of us had pretty much run out of hope and figured, okay, we can't get anything done. Like, I think none of us were very hopeful at that point.
It was a Les Miles special, and you know.
Yeah,
it
was one
out.
Of those, like, okay, well, clearly nothing is going our way. Like, our offense has completely lost all its mojo. You know, Bo Wallace is going to do something stupid. It's only a matter of time. So I don't think any of us was really putting any faith in that comeback. Whereas,
the total amplitude of hopeless to hope to hopeless again in last week's game is a magnitude that I have never, and I say this as a Washington State, Arizona State, and Minnesota fan, I have never comprehended or even conceived of that.
Yeah, it was, yes.
It is outside of my context.
Yeah, it was completely, it was a...
Let's not talk about it.
Yeah. I went out and broke myself.
That
was my response.
Because was it the exact anniversary of your injury?
Well, by the time the clock struck midnight, it was.
Okay.
An apple cores divided cannot stand,
so,
apparently.
So next year on Sunday night, you are not allowed to go out drinking. And
wrapped in bubble wrap.
Yeah.
And also not allowed to take a shower. In fact, I think I'll just stay in bed.
Yeah.
Right. Whatever day of the week that is, just count me out. Just
work,
gonna
work
stay.
It's like, guys, I'm not coming in today.
Yeah.
The kilt
Which actually
might
my,
explode.
My boss was like, hey, wasn't that like around the same time of year? And I was like, yes, yes, it was. He was like, because I remember you texting me and I was at the fair with my kid. And then you texted me again yesterday and I was at the fair
the
with
fair
my kid.
Is
yeah, it's too fucking hot in August.
Okay. It's fair.
It has to wait till it's like, till it's actually comfortable to be outside.
Yeah. Ours was like 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And so,
ours was in August.
Yeah. And in Louisiana, they gave you a Friday off from school in October for Parish Fair Day.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah.
Ooh. We don't have fairs in New Jersey.
Because you got to go home and help your daddy frap, like, alligator and random other animals to get ready?
No, you'd go to the fair on that Friday. You'd actually see the whole school there, riding the, the sketchy-ass rides that rock while you sit in the chair before it starts going.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. I feel like there's some flabbergasted looks coming at me for that.
I was really disappointed.
Like,
my roommate went on Sunday night when I was already hurt and I couldn't go with her. I was really disappointed. I wanted a corn dog and
like
I wanted to ride something that made me puke.
So corn dog and a thing that makes you puke. Can't you just go back to LSU Stadium?
Yeah,
Zing.
Pretty much.
Bravo. Bravo. I'll give you that one.
Tiger Stadium. I'm sorry. I'm not really thinking.
Yeah.
If you wanted a corn dog and I think they'd make you puke, why don't you just pick up the didn't Katy Perry just release an album? No, that was Taylor Swift. Never mind.
We are striking out on the music references today.
Yeah.
No.
Let it be known.
No, that wasn't even striking out. That was swinging so hard I fell down.
Just like the Atlanta Braves.
Wasn't far to fall, was it?
No.
No, no, no. Not very far at all.
That's ACS.
No, no, no. You don't even know.
Yeah.
Kotov is even smaller.
I am significantly shorter than him, actually.
How many smoots are you?
Like Fred Smoot?
No. Like the MIT unit.
What the fuck is that?
It's a non-standard unit of length created as part of an MIT fraternity prank. It is named after Oliver R. Smoot, a fraternity pledge, blah, 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 who in October 1958 lay across the Harvard Bridge between Boston and Cambridge, Massachusetts, and was used by his fraternity brothers to measure the length of the bridge. One smoot is 170.18 centimeters.
I am 0.97 smoots.
Oh, okay. That's small.
It is.
I'm not sure what's more impressive there, the what is a smoot or Kotov knowing how many smoots he is.
Well, I went looking
I'm
up
sure we both
that.
Immediately fired up Wikipedia.
Yeah, I went to Wikipedia and then I pulled up the calculator.
Dang it, work with me here. But
yeah. Boy, those Mac games. God. What a bunch of shit.
Yeah, it's just
fucking terrible.
I can't believe Toledo isn't, because some people have said Toledo might be the best team in the MAC, and Kent State is almost certainly the worst. I figured this game was going to be more like 61-0, not 16-0.
I mean, blank to nothing, and I say this as someone who's sort of grown into the Jerry Kill system. If it's blank to nothing, and blank is more than two scores, it's hard to really put a boundary on what blank means. Games can truly be over at 16-0.
Yeah,
fair enough.
Well, I when Kent State is involved, they probably are, but.
I mean, you know, we went up 28-0 on MTSU or somebody, and it was like this game is so over that it does, like, no score after this matters. It's a weird feeling. It's probably like an Ohio State guy felt in April. Ha ha ha. Ha ha ha. There we go.
Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah, this Mac slate, not good. Maction.
Yeah, and it makes sense, you know, when you get up, though, just to continue, because, you know, and for whatever folks think about, you know, like, F-plus and all that, and, you know, some of the work they've done, if you're up 24 points in the second quarter of a game, You win the game. It's like 99% of the time.
I've often envisioned some.
I know somebody you could ask about, like, that. It starts with.
I've often thought about the system where you look at like.
Short man who likes to turn medically ineligible players into glue.
Awesome. Yeah.
No, oh my God, there's nobody at this game. The stand was literally empty except for the band. It's terrible.
You're old.
It's okay.
I guess the polls are closed. Never mind.
Yeah.
They are a bad sports town.
Yeah.
The whole MAC is a bad sports town. Yeah. As much as I love them.
It's indeed a bad sports town. I can verify this.
Yeah. I also love the camera in the Toledo Kent State game that has, you know, raindrops on it, and just kind of gives it that nice 1990s look.
None of you people ever heard of a chamois?
No, apparently not.
Clearly.
I don't understand the question, and I won't respond.
It's authentic potato vision, except without potato. Because men eat potato.
No school in Mac have a whole potato.
Nope, they don't.
Mac can only
like some kind of metaphor for program revenue or something like that. I don't know. Yeah. We are the lobby of the FBS.
Yeah, that makes sense. But all right, so another might have been the second most exciting game. And only second most because no one watched it, with Arizona State, Utah.
Well, you talk about that, I'm going to refill my wine.
Yeah, I don't feel qualified to comment here because I was asleep before that game started.
I will say, if you're not going to do anything on a Saturday but watch football, Pacific time is actually pretty nice.
It is fantastic.
Yeah.
Although if you want to go to game day, it's at like fucking 5 a.m. It's pretty rough.
Yeah, but I it's kind of nice because I'm now. I mean, granted, it's also because I have nothing else to do. But you know, I wake up at about 8:30, roll out of bed, you know, get some breakfast going, and bam, 9 a.m. game start, and I can watch all the way to about 11 o'clock at night.
Football's on literally all day in Pacific time.
Yeah. And usually you give at least one decent game all day.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Yeah, no, so
not the case last week.
Yeah.
God, that first time slot was so awful.
Yeah, I think I watched some Rutgers, Wisconsin.
Wow. I turned on the Army Air Force game or whatever it was. I fell asleep.
Yeah. Well, I was also at the gym, and they only had ESPN. So I could.
Wah, wah.
Yeah, I could pretty much watch that or, you know, infomercials. But no, I think the biggest thing that kind of struck me with this was that Arizona State, I mean, they gained 200 yards more than Utah, but were just unable to do anything, it seemed, in the red zone. It was kind of like, oh, we're going to march 50 yards and fuck it up.
That sounds like the Maryland-Syracuse game where Syracuse would go to the Maryland 30 or into our red zone and they'd be just forced, their offense would forget what they'd been doing to drive from their 20 or their 30 or wherever we kick the ball to. They'd get the 60 or so yards and then they just stop.
I mean, full disclosure, I think if you're blown out by UCLA this year to the tune of whatever 40 points or something, you are officially completely clown fraud. And
agreed.
Yeah.
Like, oh my god. I they're still my alma mater. I still want them to do well, but I just can't care about most games because that one sticks in my head so strongly. It's like UCLA is a bad football team with a couple of transcendent players on it.
Yeah.
And if you get blown out by them, that means you're also a bad football team without transcendent players on it.
Yep.
So nothing matters.
So what does that say about Oklahoma State and Florida State?
It says that nothing about football makes sense this year.
No, it means that Jameis Winston is an elite player and you are all jealous ESECPN haters. Go Noles.
That too.
Yeah.
Go Noles.
Yeah.
Talk about the Noles.
Talking about the Noles.
That too.
Yeah.
I think that the Pac-12 South, especially this year, is a completely mystifying black box. I think Utah's pretty good, and they will ultimately not win because they're not very deep. And I think all the other teams many of the other teams in the division are very talented and have very good aspects, but are so fundamentally flawed in other ways that they have no hope of ever competing with any other quote-unquote elite teams.
And then there's Colorado.
Bless their hearts.
Honestly, is getting feistier. Colorado is Purdue. They're not going to win a lot of games, but they're not getting blown out. They're not getting embarrassed. They're not being
rent. They're not losing to Temple by four touchdowns.
I'm sorry?
They're not losing to Temple by four touchdowns like a
Temple's
certain SEC
pretty good. I don't know what the fuck's going on with that. And pretty good is like probably 7-5 in the fucking whatever. Still, I mean, I remember when Temple was thrown out of the Big East. Like,
I remember when they were kicked out of the MAC.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
But yeah. And another
Colorado's still, or not Colorado, Utah's still, Colorado's, or, god, fuck me. Utah's good. They're not great. They're not world beaters, but Utah's going to go 9-3 and is going to fuck someone up in a bowl game.
Yeah.
I hope so.
Winningham's a good coach. I hope he's there for a long time. Utah, I like Utah. They're great folks. It's a good mm-hmm. program. They hate BYU, which puts them in my good graces already.
They hate BYU and they beat Alabama. That makes them a favorite of mine.
Oh, God.
Yeah. I mean, they feel like a good cultural fit to the Pac-12. And I don't necessarily intrinsically love conference expansion, but when it has to happen, I like seeing teams that are good fits do well. Right. Maybe not great, maybe not winning the division like Mizzou. Hey, what the fuck, Florida and Georgia and everybody else.
Yeah.
But I like to see them immediately sort of ingratiate themselves and feel like a part of the conference. And to me, Utah really feels that way. So I'm happy.
You mean
I'm
Aggie beat sort of, Bama?
I'm sorry?
You mean like when Aggie beat Bama in 2010?
Yeah, I'm just sort of generically wishy-washy happy about Utah doing well.
Yeah. Here's how crazy the Pac-12 South is. The team records 7-1, 6-3, 7-2, 6-2, 6-2, and then Colorado 2-7.
Other than Colorado, they're definitely going to have like an ACC clusterfuck at the top, huh?
Yeah,
and Colorado divisions is about a 3-6, 4-5 kind of team. They're a lot better than they were.
Yeah,
it's just they aren't as good as everyone else. So that's a bummer for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's, I mean, right now those teams are all Arizona State's got one loss, and then the other four only have two conference losses. So, yeah, it might be crazier than the Coastal or the SEC East.
Damn.
Or the Big Ten West. Woo! Big Ten!
Yeah. Well, are we calling them West and East now instead of Leaders and Legends?
That's their names.
Oh.
Yeah, we actually, the divisions actually make sense.
That's amazing.
Surprisingly.
As long as you remember that West Lafayette is west of Bloomington, which it has West in the name, so kind of makes sense. Yeah, although fun fact, none of the perceived top four Big Ten West teams have played each other yet at all.
Hmm.
So who the fuck knows anything?
Yeah, that is.
Yep.
That is a very backloaded schedule.
Iowa this week, but fuck me. Just, God damn it.
Yeah. But.
Just God damn it.
Yeah. All right, well, now it is time to talk about a certain game that, well, I think all of us were shocked by. I mean, there's really no other way to describe that.
Yeah, you could say that.
Let's be honest, because it's one thing if you said Florida has a chance or Florida's going to win. You might have been smoking something if you said it, but no one can honestly say they were expecting this.
I think everybody can say that they were expecting them to play good defense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But not
competent.
Have like
offense.
A competent offense.
Yeah.
Not. You can't win a game with one of the three phases, really. Unless you're Auburn and that phase is special teams.
Or, hey, Mizzou can do it with special teams too. Just ask Florida.
Well, that's very true.
Yeah. Not against Indiana.
Yeah.
Boom.
Yeah. I would say maybe we should feel bad for Georgia fans, but
yeah.
No, we shouldn't.
Fuck Georgia.
We absolutely shouldn't.
Yeah. I mean, because it was. I was stupefied. I mean, that's really the only way I can describe it. And. Holy shit. Georgia outgained Florida, too.
Really?
Only by 15 yards, though.
Right, but for the beating that Florida administered, because despite the final score, it was a beating.
Yeah.
Yes.
Florida threw for 27 yards.
They didn't.
They threw for 27 yards.
Wait, seriously?
They didn't complete
a pass. That is Georgesian.
Yeah, there were no passes completed in the second half. I don't even think there were passes attempted in the second half.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Trayon Harris was 3 for 6 for 27 yards.
The fun and gun is rolling over in its grave.
God, I thought that the running game between Maryland and Penn State was awful. Where I think both teams combined for 27 yards in the third quarter.
Yeah. It was who? I mean, I don't even think Gurley makes a difference in this game.
No.
No.
That's how bad it was.
Getting up 418 yards of rushing is generally a bad strategy.
Yeah. Can't even call it a bold strategy and see how it plays out. It's just not going to work.
Yeah.
So let's discuss the fact that Florida fans have gone from despair, possible hope that their coach is going to be fired at the end of the season, to now this awful feeling of being backed into a corner.
Oh, there's no way they're going to keep him. There's just no way.
What?
But there's always that possibility. There's always that possibility of complete incompetence by upper management.
Okay, looking at Florida's schedule, their next game is Vanderbilt. Then South Carolina.
And that's a toss-up.
Yeah.
Eastern they could easily Kentucky. Beat South Carolina. South Carolina is very not good.
Yeah.
Especially Eastern South Kentucky. Carolina's run defense.
Yeah.
This year, right?
Yeah.
He's got it.
They've got East.
Got it.
Go ahead.
I mean, if he goes 3-1, you know, as they play Florida State at the end, he's 7-4. Or wait. Yeah. Wait, what the?
He's got to have one more of something. Oh, no, he doesn't because they didn't play Idaho.
Oh, God. I was scared of Idaho. That's just sad.
And Florida fans are going to be thrilled now that they didn't play Idaho because, well, actually, they might be bummed. Because would they have beat Idaho?
Yes.
They would have destroyed Idaho.
Yeah, that's true. Idaho's terrible. So they would be, what, 8-4?
They would be 8-4.
So there would be no way
Florida could have beat Idaho that would make them look good.
Okay, so they would be 8-4 with a very much higher probability that Muschamp stays.
Mm-hmm.
And Florida fans would be imminently angry about that.
Yes.
But if he's 7-4,
would he get fired at 8-4? I mean,
I mean, Maryland fired a coach at 8-4, so anything's possible.
Solich happened. Let's be honest. Solich happened. He was 9-3.
You guys fired a who fired a 9-3 coach?
Nebraska.
Nebraska.
Yep. And hired Bill Callahan to replace him.
That went well.
Yeah. And now they have 4 guaranteed losses on the schedule every year. Hey, crazy Old Testament God is a creative dude.
Mm-hmm. He's as good as they can be right now, I truly think. If Nebraska fires Bo Pelini, they get worse. Guaranteed.
I
would say they get worse overall, but they have that potential for that one season where they go the 10-2 type thing. You know,
I don't think so.
I see it's one of those where you add that little peak and that little valley to their min max, if you will.
They lost their recruiting base.
Yeah.
So yeah. I think 9-4 for them is great. They should be happy.
But they
will they be? I don't know.
No.
But yeah. We'll see. Yeah. We'll see how the crazy like the monkey division shakes out.
Now, here's the thing though, if good old Will beats Florida State.
Talking about the Noles.
I think he keeps his job.
He's safe. If he beats Florida State, he's safe.
He has to be safe. Absolutely.
I don't know what his extension situation is, but you have to have him have a fifth year with some sort of like 1 year rider or something like that.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean,
even if they go 3-1 in the next 4 games, he's probably going to get an extension. He's probably going to be here from. He's probably going to be at Florida for the next year.
Yeah. Well, you can't be that program who keeps getting apparently better. Now, if Muschamp satisfies those criteria right now, I don't know. We don't know. I mean, there are injury issues. There's like Georgia State issues or Georgia Southern or whoever the fuck. But
there's the issue that he plays a Turbo Dome version of football.
See, I don't necessarily agree that his version of football is intrinsically stupid. The problem is that he's bad at it.
It's just poorly executed.
Yeah.
I mean, he plays trestle ball, and trestle is not so far removed from the modern era of being pretty fucking successful. You can make this work. Now, is Muschamp the guy for that? I don't know. Can Florida put up with that? I also don't know. There are a lot of open questions still with Muschamp. I mean, Muschamp and Hoke are so far removed from each other. Muschamp, I mean, I think he's a failure. I would absolutely fire him if I were Foley, but I can see the argument for keeping him if he wins a few games here at the end.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think it's actually gotten to the point where they're waiting and seeing now. Like last week at this time, I would have said he's turbo fired, but at this point now, I think they're going to wait and see, actually.
I can see Fire as the guy who leads the program in shambles. I'm not saying it's true, but I can see it.
Mm-hmm.
He's the sort of guy who leaves some top-end talent but sort of checked out early on and was like, eh, fuck it, and the next guy is sort of screwed. I mean, I've seen it here in Minnesota. I can buy that.
Yeah.
I can buy it. So I don't know.
Yeah, it's...
I don't think it matters. I think he gets shit canned anyway because he gets utterly embarrassed by Florida State, who's not great, but is a hell of a lot better than Florida.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think the boosters want him gone, too.
I think so, they do. He's just sort of, he's too dopey to really want to keep.
Yeah.
And it's a dickish statement, but he's a dumbass.
He's not a great public face of the program. He's not exactly the guy you want out there saying, like, this is the face of Florida football.
Not in a vacuum. If he's going to be like that, he's got to win, and he hasn't won. So bye-bye Muschamp, you know.
Well, not
be a great coordinator somewhere, but fuck off.
I would the scary thing is he probably ends up at South Carolina.
Ooh, nah. Wow.
That actually he got is, bandied about. I was looking at the game thread for the
He is good
South Carolina
as a head coach
afterwards, and they were bandying that about the possibility of nothing else of bringing him in as the defensive coordinator next year, cuz they were, needless to say, very unhappy with their defense after that game.
Holy shit, that would be a team of destiny right there.
I would shit my pants, and I would go cry in the corner.
Yeah.
Because, no, he's actually become really good friends with Steve Spurrier. So that was, I've heard it floated in a couple places besides the USC folks, that, I mean, they want their defensive coordinator gone, and I can't disagree with that based on what I've seen out of them this year.
Sure.
I would really hope if Venables goes that Dabo makes a run at him, because I like him as a DC. Yeah, well, and it's an area, too, if you're a potential DC. I mean, Dabo knows nothing about defense or offense, but if we're being honest, but he knows nothing about defense, so he won't touch it. And
what does he know about other than the taste of the back of Spurrier's hand?
Wow.
He knows what the rock tastes like. He kisses it before every game. He knows what it feels like to beat Auburn twice.
Ouch.
You know.
On the one that counted, I guess. Sort of.
Both of them.
In a tangential sense.
Yeah. We're blaming the refs for the one we lost.
As one does.
Yeah, hey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was a bullshit penalty, and I will hear nothing and disagree. But, yeah, it... I don't know. Someone's going to be happy, whoever gets him as a DC.
Now, here's the question about South Carolina. Do you think... When is Spurrier going to end up retiring? Because
this year.
This year?
Hope so.
No, I thought he said something about he's staying another year.
He's lying.
You think?
His team sucks, and he's bored.
Yeah, after the season he's had, you're going from being one or two wins away from winning your division to one win above Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
I would see this as his lame duck year.
The problem is that he's 2 to 3 being in the division again, and he doesn't have it in him.
Yeah.
No one but Bill Snyder does that age.
Yeah.
So he leaves and he says, thanks, but it's been fun and so long, thanks for all the fish, and pieces out. And I think that's what an intelligent and like well adjusted person does. Now there aren't very many.
I totally agree.
Yeah.
Now here's the question. Are he and Corso having like weekly talks about, you know,
I hope
whether they're coordinating their retirement? Because I'm really serious about this. It's probably the best idea I can think of.
Yeah.
To put him on game day.
Yeah.
I mean, give him a segment where he plays golf with like a famous alum of whatever school that they're having game day at on like the Friday before. Like
having shotguns and beers with frat guys, like that could be a feature every week. It's like Todd's Taste of the Town, except with Natty Light.
Yeah.
Natty Light, you serious? It's going to be Coors.
I was going to say, he drinks the banquet beer.
Yeah,
that's true. He's a little bit above the level of frat guys in terms of taste, I guess.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think he's realized, too, is that he hit that ceiling with South Carolina.
Oh, yeah. If he were 55 maybe. He's not going to do better than he's done.
Yeah.
He just isn't. It's right. Not going to happen.
And he's not getting – a lot of it was he had two phenomenal recruiting classes.
Yeah. I also think that he's seen what happened to Bowden. He's seen what happened to Paterno. He's seen what happened to, I don't know, other old shitheads.
Frank Beamer.
Sure, Beamer. Matt I don't Brown. Think he wants to go out in this, like, I'm quote-unquote – I don't think he wants to Brandon-esque, I'm retiring because I don't get fired.
Agreed. Mm-hmm.
I think he has way too big an ego for that.
I also think he's probably seen, like, if there was a year to, like, take advantage of the SEC East being shitty, it's this year.
And he did not get stuck.
And he didn't do it. I mean,
no.
If he can't win this SEC East, you know, he's pretty much, he's not going to get it in the next couple years.
Talent he sent out, you know, Lattimore, I know he wasn't all that in the NFL. Lattimore, that whatever tackle clowny guy.
Clowny.
Yeah. Like he's got all these great players who've moved on, and I don't feel like he's got a whole lot in the shed right now.
Yeah.
I'm not saying his recruiting classes suck, but he's not going to improve on what he's done.
Yeah.
So this is a great opportunity to be like, it's been real. You know, I've done everything I can. I wish South Crack Lackey the best, but I'm old and I want to go retire and just sort of have a low stress life and be happy. I think
he's one of the few that really grasps the importance of enjoying life. Yeah,
gets that you should just go be happy. And I don't think he's happy right now in South Carolina. I sure as hell wouldn't be.
I mean, if you've seen his press conferences, he does not sound happy at all. So
yeah. No, so and, leave. Fuck it, you know.
And it's Columbia. It's a shithole, you know.
You know, put up six on Dabo and leave.
No.
I was going to say, yeah, you can go to – he was going to say he's like, what, 3 hours from Hilton Head? Just pack up and
– honestly, and it's funny. Had things, you know, somehow it been a thing and Clemson had hired him, he'd probably stay until he died solely because Clemson has a golf course on campus. Yeah. And it's fairly nice.
Yeah. I'd hire him to be your AD. Just kidding.
He just spends every day giving Dabo noogies.
Yeah. No, he just spends every day beating the shit out of Dabo at golf.
Yeah.
I bet Dabo is terrible at golf.
I feel like Dabo's the kind of guy who looks at the ball, looks at his club, just like slams the club into the ground and just like breaks the shaft in half. He's like, fuck this stupid game, I'll quit.
Can we get the worst foursome ever for coaches? Dabo, Will Muschamp, Charlie Weiss, Brady Hoke.
Worst foursome of golfers, you think? Or is that just worst foursome?
I mean, Mangino would be awful too, just because Mangino probably can't see the ball when he's standing there to dress. So.
Oh, I'm in hell.
Yeah, but you're going to enjoy the ride.
Damn straight. Yeah. It's going to get warmer down there.
Yeah. No, actually, I think Dabo's pretty good at golf. He usually does well in the ACC Chick-fil-A Golf Challenge.
I kind of like how often, like, Paul Johnson does well at that.
He won four in a row, I think.
I know. Isn't that insane? Like, isn't he, like, the last person you... He's one of those ones that I would think would not have, like, the patience for golf. Like, he's one of those ones I would assume would be like, just fuck this shit.
Well, based on his offense, I bet he's got, like, the best old man swing ever. I don't know if you know what I mean, but, like, the old man swing that, you know, it's ugly, but it hits the ball straight every single time.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Yeah.
Y'all, I gotta turn in, but it's been real podcast with you, and fuck Clemson, no offense, but we hate Iowa. We're gonna get rocked by Iowa.
We do, we do agree.
We're gonna get rocked by Iowa, but fuck Iowa. So have a good night.
All right, see ya.
Peace out. Bye.
Right.
And on that note, we should probably talk about this week's games.
Wait, we didn't talk about a win at all costs, renegade win at all costs Maryland yet. You got to talk about them Terps. And
no.
Talk about the Terps.
That was
awful. This offensive line is literally the worst offensive line I've ever seen on a Division I football team.
Yes.
Literally. one.
That was a sad game.
Yertle, come back to us when you can think of a turtle villain from a cartoon. Until then, we have to table this discussion because I can't even do it unless there's a turtle villain. And I don't think there is.
Franklin,
what are you
going to
do? Put
asshole.
On like a monocle or something? I don't. Like, how do you make a turtle evil?
I have no idea.
Bowser.
Oh, there we go, Bowser.
Bowser's awesome, and I will hear no arguments to the contrary.
Okay.
No, but he's the bad guy. Bowser.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a villain.
Yeah.
But that game was just, it was your platonic noon 11 a.m. Big Ten game, and it was an offensive struggle funk because it's the Big Ten and not the SEC. And the only reason why Maryland won was because we were up by 1 point when the clock hit zero.
That's typically the way it happens.
Anymore, if that makes you feel any better about it. I mean, I think they all believe you now.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is... I that's okay. Just feel glad you weren't watching Rutgers, Wisconsin, where there were more band members than students at the game.
Oh my god, you should have seen the stands at the Central Eastern game. Since I mentioned it, I did actually watch it. you guys remember how it got bandied about between some people on EDSBS that we might go to an EMU game there just so like we would double their attendance? We would have like literally tripled the attendance of that game on Saturday, I promise you.
So it'd be like us and like the moms of the few kids who were from like the towns close by?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, it was bad. I probably could have counted the number of students I saw on two hands.
I'll be honest, this sounds like a not terrible idea. And there's a non-zero chance I would go.
Yeah, but you gotta travel all the way to like where Kalamazoo, something like that.
Ypsilanti.
Oh, that's even worse.
It's right halfway down the road from DTW, actually.
It's halfway between Detroit and Ann Arbor, I think. Yeah,
it's a little close.
Oh,
man.
So we could pull one of those Daddy Call specials where you schedule like a weekend where there's like a Thursday night game and a Friday night game and two Saturday night games in driving distance.
And then you end up in Shreveport.
Ooh, let's not be hasty here.
Are we talking about the arc of Ole Miss's season, or? Sorry, I had to get in one joke at Ole Miss's expense, and obviously it wasn't going to be directly related to the game. Because...
Damn it, he jinxed us. The whole time we were at LSU, he was talking about how he really wished he had a Shreveport corn dog. I'm going to blame the whole thing on him.
Yeah, no, but that would be one of those, let's be honest. Many of us would consider that idea.
we would consider it. I've been to Shreveport 5 fucking times. Of course I'd go to Ypsilanti.
Ypsilanti is worse than Shreveport. I've never been to Shreveport, but I guarantee you Ypsilanti is worse.
I'm sure it is, but...
But once you've gone to Shreveport, the bottom falls out.
Yeah.
Much.
Yeah.
Ypsilanti is like the Starkville of the Mac.
Oh, God. That's special.
Wow.
Okay, so what do we have to watch this weekend?
I mean...
Kansas State TCU's probably
yeah,
the biggest game.
Well, Kansas State.
That'll be good and wizardy.
Yeah, I'm really interested to see it just because, you know, Kansas State's kind of... I mean, they do it a lot, but kind of been under the radar.
Absolutely.
You know, it even feels, God, was it 2011 when they had the one senior quarterback and they were pretty good? And that,
you talking about Josh Freeman?
Was it that? Maybe that year. I just remember there was...
No, with Colin Klein. Yeah. Colin Klein.
Klein.
No, that was... that might have been... Whatever year it was that Florida was good, it was that year.
There have been a couple of those. 2012?
Yeah, 2012. Yeah. But it was like that year you actually heard about Kansas State. And
the
press was talking about them, whereas this year it's kind of that, well, oh, hey, by the way, we're 7-1 all of a sudden.
With a good loss.
Yeah.
I was going to say, yeah, they've probably got the best loss of anyone outside Auburn, so.
Yeah, and you could, well, I guess not as much with Kansas State, but in a way you could make it the argument that this is a game between two of the best teams, the two best teams in the nation. You know, if you're going based on what they've done.
It's definitely a potential playoff elimination game.
Oh, I think it definitely is a playoff elimination game, no question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And also some purple-on-purple wizardy magic.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's nice form, too.
We've actually got football every night this week, going to Saturday, because we got tomorrow night we got Buffalo at Ohio, Northern Illinois at Ball State.
Oh, that's going to be a bad game. That's going to be
Thursday
a
really night.
Bad game.
Clemson at Wake Forest.
Dude, bad things happen at Wake. Well, all right.
Things happen in the ACC on Thursday nights.
Normally.
That's true, too.
Hey, last time we lost to Wake on a Thursday night at Wake, we ended up firing our coach the next Monday. That was the game that sealed Tommy Bowden's fate.
Interesting.
Yeah. Mm. I don't think it would happen this time.
Probably not.
Also, yeah. if we lose, I will probably be drunk enough to get kicked out of Death Valley.
Oh, you can join the club. We can make t-shirts.
Only if it's got a frocket on it.
Deal.
Friday night.
Yeah.
Friday night. Memphis at Temple. And Utah State at Wyoming.
That Memphis at Temple could be maybe a little bit feistier than it sounds, I guess.
It isn't Memphis Temple.
I mean, it's like the best Memphis Temple game I could think of.
Yeah, hot. Damning
that's
up with
the
faint
thing.
Praise.
I mean, that's it's a game you can watch.
Mm-hmm. Sure, absolutely. But for real, Memphis is better than they've been, and Temple is certainly better than they've been, so it could be not terrible.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, and then Saturday, what do we have in the morning?
Presbyterian at Ole Miss.
I guess we're not. That's not even on TV, I'm sure.
SEC Network.
Oh. Okay. I guess we'll watch that.
That's fair.
Baylor at Oklahoma, which should be good.
Yeah.
Certainly worth watching.
Yeah. Georgia at Kentucky, which is the ESPN noon game.
That's also very worth watching.
Yeah, Kentucky's feisty.
Yeah, but.
And Georgia is schizophrenic.
I'm gonna laugh if Kentucky gets skull fucked by like 40.
Like really pissed off Georgia.
Yeah.
Like Georgia goes Alabama after a loss mode.
Yeah. But not to 2013 Alabama after lost.
Well, not 2013 Alabama after a loss with nothing else to play for.
Yeah.
Alabama after a loss with still some shit to prove and a chance to get in the playoff.
Yeah. That's,
there's a difference.
Yeah.
Let's see. Looking at the 3 o'clock slate, you've got Notre Dame, Arizona State.
That should be a really good game.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
Another game with playoff implications, since you've got...
Yeah, losers probably out there.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Well, Arizona State might have trouble anyway, just based on the fact that they got absolutely demolished by UCLA. That's a big black mark on there.
But I think if they manage to win out, especially playing Notre Dame, and they're playing all these teams that were at least ranked when they played them, are still at least decent teams. I think if Arizona State wins out, they're probably going to get in.
Hey, where is that game?
It is at Arizona State. Yeah.
Hmm.
Okay. That's right, because it's a noon game in Arizona, and Arizona's wearing those black or
uniforms. Yes.
The anthracite and copper uniforms.
Yes, the ones that are like faded Tennessee orange and gray.
Yes.
Yes.
They look like Syracuse basketball uniforms.
Why?
That's a great question.
It's exactly what they look like, isn't it?
Yeah.
Fucking ugly ass gray.
I would say that's the best game of the 3:30 slate, and then you've got, let's see, in the evening, Virginia at Florida State.
Yeah, that's going to be skull fucking.
Yep.
Bama, LSU, and Ohio State, Michigan State.
Okay, so those are like set two TVs next to each other.
Yeah.
Kind of games.
That is.
For sure.
It is the SEC on CBS.
I have to admit that I go listen to that music like every few days in the off season because I miss it. I know that's sad, but
it's great music, man.
I watch the first SEC game of the year, regardless of what else is on, solely to hear the music for the first time.
Yep, absolutely.
There's something wrong with all of us.
Yeah.
We're very broken people, clearly. Yeah.
Wait, why can't you come out? I have to listen to the pregame music, damn it. I will be at Bama LSU for those of you who have not heard me be awesome about it. Look for me about a quarter way up on the 15-yard line. I might wear a Clemson shirt just to be that guy.
Oh, don't be that guy.
Well, I guess we'll find you that way.
Yeah.
Don't be that guy.
No, I can't be that guy since LSU is my second team.
Mm-hmm. Eat some of Bundy's boudin balls.
Yep, and some of Billy's gator.
Yeah, I was going to say, anything Billy's eating, I mean cooking, you should eat.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's funny this year, though. This might be the first time maybe since Saban returned that this isn't, like, the game of the week, if you will.
Yeah. Well, that it's not, like, practically the game of the year.
Yeah. Well,
yeah. And, I mean, LSU struggled. They dropped that game, and they struggled early on, so they kind of just fell out of the playoff conversation, since we're now talking about the best four teams. And they had the win against Ole Miss, but you've got the whole pole inertia thing, so.
Yeah, I guess LSU's about where I think they should be. I mean, it's.
Yeah, they are.
When what? 9-10 games beat a red Big Ten team in a New Year's Bowl in Florida?
Yeah, pretty much.
They might, yeah, they'd probably be in a.
I mean, they.
Probably be in like a.
Citrus Bowl.
Yeah, New Year's Bowl.
I mean, and depending on how things shake out, they might, they could end up being that number two team picked by the committee. So they could, or three, they could easily be in the Orange Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
It's possible.
Which, God, that might set football back about 10 years if they played Clemson again.
Yeah.
Oof.
It wasn't that one of the projections, or did I dream that?
Maybe.
I wouldn't be surprised.
I know it for a while it was Clemson Ole Miss in the Orange Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that would be fun. I don't think... Have we even played each other?
I don't think so.
But I'd be happy to go to the Orange Bowl. It's the only BCS bowl I haven't been to.
Oh.
So that'd be fun.
Yeah.
And Ole Miss fans in Miami. You guys, I would have to, like, film that shit. It would be hilarious.
Oh, my God.
I don't even know. I think we would all just collectively walk around judging people.
Yes, you guys have beaten us twice. We played 1928 and 1930.
All right.
Yeah.
Back in the good old days. Also, my grandfather was, like, the team manager.
That's awesome. Yeah.
And then
only Ole Miss thinks the 20s were the good old days.
No, really, it was the late 50s, early 60s, but I digress.
Yeah, I hear.
I was going to say, I think Eric would be right with me on that pre-World War I or pre-World War II era love.
Yeah, that's true. Sparty's going to skullfuck Ohio State, right?
Yes.
That's how.
Absolutely. Ohio State is not good at all.
I will love it.
Ohio State hasn't played anybody.
Has Ohio State, like, beaten anyone decent at all?
Maryland? Penn State? Maybe?
Has Ohio State beaten anyone decent at all?
No.
No.
I mean,
Navy is not very good.
No.
Kent State sucks. I don't know.
Kent
Cincinnati's okay, I guess. Probably the best team they've beaten is Cincinnati.
Here's kind of, and I don't want to, not necessarily a disrespect to Minnesota, but Minnesota is the second best team on Ohio State's schedule.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of tells you what their schedule's like. But, I mean, despite that, they're scoring 45 points a game. They're allowing just under 20 points a game. So
there
to the offensive juggernauts, Penn State, Illinois, Rutgers, and Maryland.
Yeah.
So, I mean, aside from the utterly atrocious loss to Virginia Tech, which looks worse every week,
yeah,
they're doing what they're supposed to do with what they've been given.
Yes.
Outside of
that
Penn
glaring
State.
Loss is fucking glaring.
Yeah. Well, and that Penn State game was pretty.
That's true. That's true. And Penn State's terrible.
Arguably should have lost that game.
Mm-hmm.
They are by all means a decent team. They've just had a very, very weak schedule.
Yeah.
And, you know, you compare to Michigan State. Their schedule isn't that much better, but they've played Nebraska and Oregon.
Yeah.
So, you know, both teams lost their major non-conference opponent, but in terms of the better loss, it's definitely Michigan State.
By like an incredible margin. Like an incredible margin.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yes. Michigan State wins. Okay, so who is everybody picking for stupid upset picks this week?
Oh, this slate is crap. There aren't a lot of good, like, high return upsets. Like, the ones with the only few that are worth a bunch of points are ones that are just, no, I'm not picking them. So I picked Baylor.
Baylor.
It was worth, like, 7 points.
Oh, wow.
I feel like Baylor.
Yeah, Baylor was worth like 7, and I think LSU was worth like 6, and I took LSU. But
Worth like 6.5. Kansas State wouldn't be a bad pick either.
I feel like it's one of those where like you almost feel like you have to pick Baylor because everybody's picking Baylor. I don't know.
Well, no, it's just why is Baylor even a dog against Oklahoma? That's my question.
Oh, I agree.
Yeah, Baylor, no question, is going to destroy Oklahoma. Baylor did well against TCU. They beat TCU. They came back against TCU. They're going to destroy Oklahoma. It may be closer than the final score may be closer than the game was, essentially.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I'm really tempted to take LSU.
Right now it says LSU next to my name, but I may go back and change it to Baylor. I don't know. But
I think Baylor is definitely more likely than LSU.
Pick.
I don't actually think LSU is very good.
I don't think they're very good, but I don't think Alabama's all... I don't know.
I don't think Alabama's all that good, but I don't think LSU is very good either.
To beat LSU, it's all about a certain style of play. Because,
mm-hmm.
and that's what Auburn and Mississippi State are able to do. And I don't think that's how Bama is going to be able to play.
Certainly not with Lane Kiffin calling plays.
And that's the difference, I think, or at least why Ole Miss had problems against LSU, and I think Bama will. So that normally I'd agree because they haven't looked as good, but maybe I'll just take A&M just for the points, even though there's like no chance of it happening.
I mean, the thing about...
I hope there's no chance.
Yeah.
The thing about Alabama is that their weakness has been that they play this methodical process. And if you look at who's beaten them, LSU in 2010, LSU in 2011, Texas A&M 2012, Auburn last year, it's either the really fast-paced teams or the more irregular teams that can break up the methodology of Alabama. So
also anyone who can play special teams worth it.
yeah,
if you can hold them to field goal attempts, you're
out. Seriously, I have a theory that like Saban must have fired a special teams coach at the end of last year, and every week a new graduate assistant, like, they draw straws to see who has to be the special teams coach, and then Saban has murdered every single one. Like, literally, they can't do it. They fuck something up every game.
Yeah.
Like, the opposite of Beamer Ball.
Yeah. It's very true.
You know, I'm looking forward to Notre Dame's first ACC trip into Blacksburg on a Thursday night, where Brian Kelly loses to Frank Beamer on this god-awful 9-3 game, where Virginia Tech's only touchdown is scored off of a blocked kickoff or a kickoff return strip for a touchdown, and then a safety.
It better be scheduled within like the next year. Beamer's probably going to be put out to pasture.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or even a Bud Foster coach Virginia Tech team. It will be the singularly most Virginia Tech thing to happen. The only way it could be even more of a hokey game would be to have it be played in an actual lunch pail.
Well, if you want hokey, just play Michigan.
Yes.
And on that note, I think we should call it a night.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because it is late. And it is time to drink more.
Yeah, better than last time I was on. And
yeah. All right, so, Yertle, any final thoughts?
Bye week sucks. I like driving in my truck.
Kotov, any final thoughts?
I'm going to be disappointed if we don't run for 600 yards against Aggie. Run the dang ball, Bobo.
Classic from a Georgia fan. Classic. And finally, Apple Corps, any final thoughts?
Death to the blue hose, I guess.
Presbyterian ain't shit, but blue hose and tricks.
Yeah, something like that.
Well done. Alright, well, for Eric, Apple Corps, Yertle, and Kotov, I'm Brian. You've been listening to MSEC Radio. Have a fantastic evening.